Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I am your host for tonight. The other one is here, Adine. And as I was watching the news this weekend, I saw something that I felt that we need to discuss based on our title, Family Knows Best. Family Knows Best. And why do we say that? Because in the book of Genesis, the divine spirit created male and female, told them to be fruitful, multiply, and multiply means to procreate, means to add to. Not you're going to add to what you have. And if you're going to procreate, then you have responsibilities for that which you procreate. Because see, only God created. We can procreate, but not create. Because in Psalms 139, he made it clear that he knitted us together when we were in our mother's womb. Therefore, he has responsibility and we are accountable to him. But what I heard and what I saw that was written on the screen was that Donald Trump at CPAC, he made a statement. He says, I'm your retribution. Now, think about all the little kids that heard that or saw that, or the teenagers, and how that is in conflict with the foundation teacher, at least in conflict with the foundation teaching that I received as a child, and retribution. And he went on to spell out all the negative, what he was going to do if he becomes the president again. Now, that too sort of got my attention. Where is the one that created him? What is it that he believes in? Does he believe in anything? Because he has let us know what's in his heart. What is in his heart? And as we go to Apostle Paul, which is their favorite, Romans chapter 12. In that it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Okay, one who seek revenge, where does revenge rooted in? It's rooted in hatred, pride, sin. So now, what he told, what was coming out of his mouth, was his hate for the people, a group of people. His pride was was hurt. He was humiliated by him losing the election. And as a result of that, he now wants to get revenge. And I think in there it says that he was going to pardon the people who took part in the insurrection on January the 6th. So tonight, what do you tell your child? What would you tell a student if you're in a classroom? Tell a young person. And no, we're not just going to say you just need Jesus. No, young people ain't want to hear that. Young people going to want to know and others for you to get their attention. You're going to have to tell them a little something else. And if you want to break it down in hate, pride, but you're going to have to go back to what's the root cause of him making that statement. And in so doing, you begin to meet the young people where they are. Because no doubt some of them had some similar situations that they faced. And they wanted to retaliate. But retaliate. If we sit down with them and say, okay, now, what caused him to make that statement? We just going to peel it back. And we just going to try to meet him in that situation that caused him to make that statement. So what do we say? Before he lost the election, what's he doing, what he's doing? Or what's he saying, still saying what he was saying, what he's saying now? Let's look at it. And let's examine it. So whenever people come up to us, are we talking to people about the Word, about God? And they come on to us and say, well, I don't want to hear that. Well, if the president, a former president, he can get retribution. I can too. I can go out and kill somebody. It's all right. The mentality that drives the statement that he made. He set himself above God, above the one that created him. We make some assumptions here also. We're assuming that he knows the Creator, knows the same one that we know and have read the same out of the same book that we read out of, that he sat in the pews and heard the preacher preach sermons that's related to hatred and pride and revenge and retaliation and humiliation. And he or she explained what that would lead to. Where was he? He wasn't just walking down the street and made that statement. He was at CPAC, Conservative Political Action. I forgot what the C stand for. That's where he was. And the people applauded him. The people, they told him, in their response to him, that go. They supported that. They thought it was okay. What do we tell our children? First, we have to examine ourselves. What will we tell ourselves? I know I've taken revenge. That's straight up truth. And that revenge left came about as a result of what? Hatred. And the hatred came about what? Humiliation. And as a result of that, I want to take revenge. And if I would have did what I really wanted to do, I would have killed somebody. I would have been a murderer. All of this stuff. So when we sit down with young people, talk about it in those terms. What does hatred lead to? What does pride lead to? If you're humiliated by someone, or your feelings, are you going to operate on your feelings, let your feelings dictate to you what you do? Or are you going to think about the consequences of the action that you take? So there's a whole range of things that ways that we could deal with this. And at the same time, we are expressing our values, our Christian values. But we never said anything about it. But they saw it. Then they wonder, why is it that they could respond the way they responded? Maybe that's the way we're going to have to get their attention. Because when I was young, you called me talking about Jesus, talking about just giving Jesus. Back then, we smiled in our breath. We said, I wish you'd hurry up and shut up and go somewhere and leave me alone. Because I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. But now these young people, they just come out now and tell you straight up. And if you're not careful, they waste you. And not even think anything of it. They have to see something in that which you, something of value. You have to touch them in a way. And that's what we, the family, we talk about the biological family. We talk about your community family, your church family. We are all family. That's all part of the family. They're all feeding into you. I mean, I was just amazed how that man. And you can go CNN or MSNBC and Google, and you will see it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worldwide. The people all over the world knows what he said.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
But we family. If we just take time and break it down to our young people at what the consequences of hatred are, and we deal with it that way before we jump to scriptures, and then we can work the scripture in. God says, "But it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, saith the Lord." That's the NIV. We are not supposed to take revenge.
Mm-mm.
But if you take revenge, you know, working with young people who are out there in the street, who have been impacted by violence, been shot somebody or was shot, one of our major things was to convince them not to retaliate. We had to sit with them. And sometimes we had to sit with the family members. I'll never forget. There was one young man, he was 15. He shot his girlfriend in the head. And we went to the house to comfort the family. And the family says, we know where he is. You got X amount of time to get him or we're going to kill him. And that was after we developed a relationship with the family. And it didn't take all day. We let them know that we were genuine. We were there. We were there to comfort them in the fact that their child had been shot in the head. Didn't die, but shot in the head. And that they wanted justice. We wanted justice to take place. But we did not want them to go out and do it. We want them to allow the system to do it. And that prevented them from committing another act. Because theirs would have been murder, been a homicide. Because the young man was where they say he was, and we went and we were polite. We asked them, would you mind if we tell the police this? And they said no, that they didn't mind. And they reiterated the fact the amount of time even the police would have to pick him up. That's what happens when you retaliate, or when you sit down and you think of the consequences whenever you can have a conversation about what just took place. And you look at the alternatives. And that's what one of the things that we would have to do with our youth. Because revenge, it's clear that the former president, he's out for revenge.
Mm-hmm.
He has hate. He has pride. He feels he was humiliated. Even though what he did, he broke the law. He broke the Constitution of the United States of America. But he doesn't see that. And again, we could to the youth about that. But then we have to clearly define what the Constitution is in a way that they will understand. I just had to get that off. So the big question is, it's the big one and the little one. What does it mean to seek revenge? And then what the Bible say about revenge. And
praise the Lord, everyone. I want to say, yeah, I did listen to that. And he's built up enough hate and enough followers to go along with the hate. Even so-called people that feel they are people of God to fall right in behind the belief that he's right in everything that he does and back him at it. And the danger of it is they're teaching our children as they go to church, they're supposed to be the spiritual leaders and the overseers of the people of church, these same things to follow him. And once you lose control of your children, to spiritual leaders that believe in a man that lies, a man that hates, a man that causes trouble, deceive people, and people follow that, they can't call themselves a child of God with the belief system that our former president sees in himself. And I can't understand why you would follow a lie when you know it's a lie. That'd be just like, you know, you have little bitties following the hen, and you have the little puppies following the dog, and you end up, the little bitties start following the dog, and the puppies start following the hen. Well, they're confused. They're mixed up. They're deceived off of the wrong, but not willing to be corrected in the right way, because you have the leaders leading them in the wrong way and leading the people astray. And it's just so bad to understand and see the things that's going on with a lot of followers that he have, you know, Billy Graham's son, that's supposed to be one of the top spiritual leaders, is right there backing him all the way, and other spiritual leaders. And we've seen a lot of people that called themselves Christians when he was voted in, and the people that felt like he was being done wrong, it caused confusion between the people, sometimes the friends that were so-called friends, especially when our black president got in. And they didn't like, you know, having him in the White House. And a lot of our friends showed their true colors, because we as children of God, we got to be honest with our young people, honest with our children. Let them know if something is a lie, not to follow a lie, not to follow hatred, not to follow deceit. And you have to understand to come to the right one to lead you that way, and it starts with the family. You don't let them run away from home and never try to go find them. You don't let them talk back to you and you never do nothing about it, because you lose full control of the family. And it seems as if the Christian family, so-called, some of them, has lost as much control as he have. And they don't care. All they see is him and backing him. And it's a sad picture when we look at it, because he have this many followers in the wrong way rather than following the ones that's supposed to be the true leaders. And I was just looking, and right here, Deuteronomy chapter 32, chapter 41 and 43. If I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand take hold of justice, I will render vengeance on my adversaries, and I will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrow drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives. Then it says, from the long-haired leaders of the enemy. Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance on his adversaries, and will atone for his land and his people. Now, he's trying to do what the Lord says that he will do. And vengeance is Lord, saith the Lord. So why would he come out? Any spiritual leader that reads his word gets the same word that I get. And if they don't get an understanding of that word, how can you be a leader to lead somebody or overseer of a church and believe in everything that the Bible tells you right here, and you got this man out here trying to take the vengeance of what God says and letting us see these situations firsthand. And you see the hatred in this man, because everybody that was under him when he was the president, if they didn't go along with him, out the door they went. No questions asked. He got rid of them. He didn't care how they felt about it. He just got rid of them. Well, if you're not with me, you're not for me. If you can't go along with what I say, you don't need to be here. That's the way he took it, and that's the way he did it. And everybody was clapping and hollering and happy and backing him, and it just made him start to talk more stupider than he started out, because that's what they wanted to hear. That's what they want to see. They want to open up to things that happened in the past, because if they could come back and start things against different nationalities like it was back then, I believe that they would, and they would back him all the way if he wanted to. So we have to teach our young men, our young children, in the right way. That's why family means so much, because once you lose the family and they don't have a clear understanding of what they're facing and what they're going out into, it's just a bad scene. It's a bad thing to see when you see the hatred, because we was brought up not to hate. Don't be out there fighting. You know, walk away. You don't have to be out there fighting and doing this and that. Walk away. People going to call you names whether you do or whether you don't. Walk away, mama would tell us. Don't you say that word, I hate you, to nobody. And different things that we was taught when we was growing up in the home, they corrected you. And then not only did they correct you, they would explain to you to where you understand what they were saying and why they were saying it. Nowadays, they let the young people go. Let them follow who they want to. If they say, like, you know, Dwayne Wade, his son, felt like he was a young man in a girl's body, so they changed his name to girl name and let him dress up as a girl and things like that, that they know was wrong, but yet still, that's what the child wanted, so I go along with it because that's what they say and they feel. I'm just going to go, instead of sitting the child down correcting him, they let them run off with the situation, and it's wrong. And when you know something's wrong, you correct it. So that's the way, that's the reason why our young children is getting away from family, because they're being deceived, they're being led astray, and we're not doing anything about it. We're letting it go, because if it satisfied a child, then we let it go to whereas it makes them happy to do what they feel is right. So it's up to family to start at home. Start young. Talk to them about these leaders talking about hatred, talking about revenge, talking about how they would do things for you. I would judge. I would revenge. I will be your retribute. You know, the thing is, he's trying to do God's job.
That's right.
He's walking on dangerous grounds.
Yeah, he is. But he doesn't know that. Because he doesn't know the God that we know, evidently.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And it's so sad when you say that you believe and you're talking all of this crazy mess and telling people that you believe. How can you believe something that you never lived or never understood? And even if you did understand, you feel so high with pride and power that you feel like can't nobody bring you down. Well, can't nobody bring me down. I got money. I got this. I got all of the things that he's already did, as you mentioned, and he still. He said even if they, I forgot what it was because of what he did and all of this and that, and he had to answer for some of the things, he still was going to run for the election, the presidential election. He wasn't going to let that stop him. So he feels don't nobody have the power to touch him because he's Donald Trump. I got my money back in me. I got all my powerful leaders back in me. I can't be touched, you know, in his sense. And even if he runs and he loses, he's going to claim that everything was set up against him like he did the last time. And the people going to fall right with him again. Have them believing that they did him wrong. So we have to pray. We have to talk to our young people, our families, pray for each other, for that understanding that the one and true only God can give us and know that it's true by his word. Because they read the same word we do, how can they miss the understanding of what vengeance and hatred is against the Lord? And you still go ahead and you do it, and you lie. And you have some of the biggest spiritual leaders around the world backing you and believing you because of who you are. I don't get it.
Well, one of the things is on my program, one of my first programs that I started on, the title was The God of Your Understanding. And they don't understand the same God that we understand. The God that we worship holds us accountable for our action. Now, when we look at this, we're just looking at this situation, it appears as if he's not worshiping and he does the same God that we worship.
No.
Because we don't go around seeking revenge.
No, we don't.
For him to be able to say that, he had to be into idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be worshiping the idol, if he worships at all. And that's the other thing, I guess we could use that in our discussion with people who are unsaved. And they will say that he used to stand up there and say that he's the head of the Christian nation and the evangelical Christians are supporting him. So there, something is wrong here. But we can sit down and explain to them based on the word and based on based on streets and sit down and explain to them, okay, now you want to take revenge. Now, what are you going to do? They already did this to you. How are you going to take this revenge? What's going to be the consequences of your doing what you say that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
There are consequences for every action.
Yes, sir.
Are you willing, if you go and take a life, are you willing to go to prison for the rest of your life? Or are you willing to be electrocuted? Or what is it? People now go out and do this crazy stuff and they commit suicide.
Yes, they will.
Because once they did it, they realize what they've done and what the consequences are. And
so
as opposed to facing the consequences, they take their own life.
That's right.
And if we sit down with these people and not be judgmental, I think we can reach some. I know we can reach some. The people that reached me were not judgmental. They just told me what time it was and what the consequences were going to be.
Yes.
And I made the decision whether I wanted to face those consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And as opposed to those people that's so holy, 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 and some of the same people that were holy, holy, I saw them when the sun went down,
mm-hmm.
doing the same
mm-hmm.
thing I was doing.
So true. Me too.
Yeah, I'm opening the mic. We have a couple of listeners by phone. Anyone have a comment at this time? Our topic is, what does it mean to seek revenge? And what does the Bible say about revenge? And the first one is just sitting with people and get them to think about revenge.
So true.
Well, let me ask this question. Have any of you ever thought about taking revenge, or you took revenge?
Shalom, family. Peace and blessings. I have taken revenge, and there have been occasions to where I stopped and thought twice about taking revenge, and I didn't. What it really came down to was that I couldn't have my way in whatever the situation was, and I got upset and angry, and I wanted to act out. Instead of stepping back and you know, just realizing what the situation and the circumstances would be, and there was a point when I just didn't care. I didn't care what happened. But I was not thinking clearly. I really wasn't thinking at all, you know. And once I, the situation was over with, and I came back to myself, so to speak, I started to realize, you know, I got no business trying to get back at these people because it wasn't their fault. It was me. It was me the whole time doing what I was doing. And once I started to realize that, I said, wait a minute, wait a minute. Why am I taking myself through these changes? Let me switch myself up because there is consequences to everything. And a lot of times, things that you've done in the past, they can come back and haunt you later on, and you don't even know where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah. But, you know, a couple of situations to where I could have died, you know? And I realized I bought it on myself. I definitely bought it on myself. And the guy could have took me out, you know. Hey, I didn't even see it coming. But We have to grow from situations. You know, we just can't go through life and this happened and that happened. You know, there's a reason for all things. And we need to learn something from day to day or week to week from situations that we've been exposed to or we have put ourselves into and how we go about trying to get up out of those situations, you know, and how we stay away from them in the future.
Yeah. Now, what about, have you known anybody who did not think about and wound up taking retribution and wound up having to face the consequences? And
yeah,
I just wonder how that impacted them as well as you.
Mm-hmm. Well, quickly, I had a close friend in Jersey. We used to hang out together. I had me a good job, and I lived across town in the good, and the, you know, the halfway decent part of town, and he lived in the projects. And I wanted to hang out. Kick up my heels. I go over there and hang out in the hood, you know. And when I got tired, time was up, I go back home, you know what I'm saying? It's like almost like living two lifestyles. And when I leave the hood, my friend, he was doing all kinds of stuff. He said, come on, Wes, you know, let's do this over here. You know, a couple of times I did, and at one particular time, he was doing something I really didn't care for. And I tried to get him to understand, you know, it's coming up again, bro. You can't just do this and think you're going to get away with it, and it's going to be swept under the rug. Well, it didn't get swept under the rug. He wound up going to prison. And he spent his time in prison, Rahway State Prison. It was a sex offender prison. He spent his time and he came out, and I just kept my distance. I just wouldn't be bothered because I thought that I did the best I could before he got too far gone. But it was in his mind to do what he wanted to do, no matter what was said or what was done, you know. And we've been friends for 20-some years, you know, always hanging together and doing this and all kind of stuff, but it got to the point I said, well, I don't want to go down that road he's going down. See? And I made the decision to just cut him off because I couldn't persuade him. We would talk, you know, and there was no recourse for him. You know, he felt that was his part in life, what he was meant to do. You know, and I couldn't persuade him for nothing, and as time went on, I think about that situation. I said, man, how could he let his mind get so twisted to do what he was doing, knew what the consequences would be, but he didn't want to change. He didn't want to stop doing what he was doing and do something else, you know? And I said, well, I did what I could, so I'm moving on, going in the opposite direction. And that helped me to grow. Him going with and me being close to him. You know, I told myself, I said, no, I have to, if I get caught up in situations, I just have to let them know, man, you're going too far, I ain't going with you, and that's the end of that, you know. But people just, they don't want to take responsibility. They want to do what they want to do. They want to have their cake and eat it, too. You can't tell them nothing. They get mad at you. They want to take you out, you know, because you don't agree with what they're doing.
Yeah. And that's part of what we see that's happening at the national and international level. If you look at Putin I can't think of the guy's name, the president of Ukraine. You compare and contrast the two of them. Here's a man now, he feels humiliated. His pride he saw something over there that he wanted, and he went to take it, and he got himself caught up, and he's unable to do it, so he's been humiliated. And then the other countries have come together, and he feels even more isolated and humiliated. And his hatred now, and he just doesn't know where to turn. I mean, it's completely eating away at him, and he has no control over it anymore. And look at all the lies. For him to send his people in there to bum apartment buildings where there's nothing but seniors or citizens are. There's no military, no soldiers in there. And he bummed playgrounds.
Yes.
That's hatred.
That's hatred. That's hatred. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's evil. That's evil.
That's right.
Evil. You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he's getting his revenge now on the fact that he couldn't have gone in there and take it, and they humiliated him. So now he's getting retribution.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's, and when we look at it that way, we can find the hand of God in all of this. And also then we know how to approach God and how to invite God into that situation. So it's very interesting now, this time that we're in now, we're living in. And how the divine spirit has touched us, and our voices are going across the earth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not just because we're not directly involved in this this conflict. It's not for us to just overlook it and say, Lord, I thank you that we ain't got caught up in none of that. You know, it's for us, for these people out in prayer. Because for the grace of God, there go I.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're going to have to get it right.
Yeah, we have to ask God to help these people, because what goes around comes around. And just because we live in this country and it's seemingly peaceful, it's a country in conflict also. It's just not that outward appearance. It's sort of like in the shadows for a moment, but it's breaking free. It's breaking free. People don't know what they're going to do. Prices are going up. People don't want to work. The government wants to control everything, you know. And the Christian and the children of God, people want to put them under their feet, you know, like we don't mean nothing, you know.
Well, I can't buy that completely. So some of the Christians are allowing people to put them under their feet. Not all of us. I look at Timothy. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Right.
Well, it says you pray for all people. You pray for leaders.
All men.
So that you can have peace. And we're not praying that they continue doing what they're doing.
We're
praying that God's will be done. And if they harden their heart like God did Pharaoh, move them out of the way. Move somebody in that position that would do things according to his will.
Right.
And those people who say that, they are, I listen to them and I look at them and then I smile and keep it moving. But because we have a responsibility.
Yes,
we want to allow people to do that to us, what they do to us. We do people of color. That's what they have done to us all the time that we've been here.
That's right.
But our ancestors understood the power of God. They had us under their feet, but what happened? We reached out to God, and God moved them off of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we look at this Donald Trump as he feels he's as God to the people, and the people they worship him. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but they lie and wait for their own blood.
Mm-hmm.
They ambush their own lives. And then Proverbs 26, verse 27, he who digs a pit will fall into it. And
that's right.
He who throws a stone, it will come back on him. So everything that doing.
Yeah.
The first time he got by with a lot of stuff and it's adding up on him. This time he's trying to come up and build a lot of stuff again. And it's going to roll back on him. When God gets done with him, showing him who's truly in charge, then he's going to say he have no power, no control, because his case is not over yet. His case is still working on, even though he feels that he's running for president again.
Mm-hmm.
They're still dealing with him and some things that have happened in the past. And God will deal with him righteously and judge him righteously. And he thinks that he's getting by with all of this mess and all these people that's followers of his. They're going to fall with him as he falls. And
that's
then
right.
What would they say after they say that they are the spiritual leaders that they are and come to find out they're leading people astray with somebody else that's already a liar and leading people astray? So us as God's people have to keep sharing the true word of God, have to keep praying, as you said, for each other, our families, our loved ones, and not only that, we have to talk to them and let them see and understand that this is not the way that's God's way. This is the way of the enemy. This is not what God tells us to do. He gives us in his word the way that we should carry ourselves, the way we should live, and the things that we should do. And like he said, we don't fall into the mess unless we let people do these things to us, and we fall into it. Yeah. We can take control by the grace of God and do what's right. These people know the right, but they're not doing the right. So they have to answer for each and every consequence that they do and go through this wrong. We don't have to be followers of them because we know the word of God just like they know. They just teach it in a different way and live by it in a different way than we do. But we all still know that we are serving one God, one master, one truth. It don't matter what they say. And if they ain't going to get it, that's all right with me because I'm going to get it and I'm going to live by it. And I'm going to just continue to pray because everything at the end of the day is in the true God's hands. And if we truly believe, he's going to keep up. He's going to keep his people. We don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
Even though we're in this world and going through this mess that we're going through, he has the whole world in his hands. And he will be the final judge of it all. No matter
That's
how
right.
big they are or no matter how small they may get when he brings them down, he's going to let them see he is the final judge of all. He said that vengeance is his. So people can sit there and listen to this man talking about hatred, talking about being somebody's judge, him talking about the power or the pride that he has, that he can do what he want to do. But it don't work.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
When God shut him down, he's going to be shut down for good.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Can I quote a couple of scriptures real quick?
Yeah, I don't know what time it is, but go ahead.
Yeah, we got about three and a half minutes.
Okay. Okay. This is in Proverbs 29, and there are three scriptures here. Proverbs 29 and verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And we've seen evidence of that through Scripture. But when the people come together and start to pray and seek God's face, God brings a remedy. And the people start to rejoice because the righteous is put in power. You know, the wicked is not going to be in power too long, but long enough. You know, long right. enough. And the other one here is the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Mm-hmm. Yes. And an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. So they don't like us, and we don't care for what they're doing. But if we stand and stay in the way, God, he will hear us, his people, and he will bring about a relief, and we will have peace. We will have peace. Not the earth kind of peace or man's kind of peace, but it's going to be God's peace. You know? Yes.
And see, what we don't do, we don't build up hate because of what they're doing. And say, right. Well, I hate this man because of what he's saying, yeah. what he's doing. We still have to consider to have that love, even though we don't agree with what they're doing. We got to have the love of Jesus in our hearts to continue to pray, to continue to put him in God's hands and let him do the work. We can't turn around and hate back and feel like that we're going to be any better than he is.
Right.
So we know that it's all about love in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, praying, loving one another, encouraging one another, our families, our loved ones. If we do that in the right way,
yes, sir,
we can help our families not to fall in the mess that they're in unless they want to, you know.
Right.
If they don't have to, if they don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, we have 60 seconds, but the thing is, we trust that people who are listening are people who download it later, that something was said here, that they found some understanding as to what they're dealing with and how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is wild out there. It really is.
Yes, it is.
And we understand, we can sit here and talk the way we talk, not because we are righteous, but because our feet are on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And we are believers and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth.
Yes.
And the scripture that we have read has become a foundation, our foundation. And all we're doing is just trying to share that with others. And we don't believe that it's going to be an overnight. It was a process for me.
That's right.
And it may be a process for them. So just remember, just in the time that you have, just begin to focus on the one that created you. Focus on the one that gave you life.
Yes.
And as a result of that, you too, who caught in the midst of, you're in the midst of trials and tribulation, and we're in the midst of trials and tribulation right here. It's just different. That's all. But the impact is the same.
That's
if
right.
we know, you know, who created you, and you know who sent their beloved son to reconcile you back to him because of disobedience.
That's
yes.
right.
You too can find peace. I know I look at the news sometimes and they show some of the videos of what's happening in Ukraine, and you sit there and you just wonder, how can they go through what they're going through and have their head high and keep doing? And that's all that, to me, I just see the power of the Creator, the power of the Creator. Because there is no way, that Ukraine could still be fighting a war against Russia.
Yes.
No way.
That's right.
You got what we call a ragtag military in Ukraine, and you're supposed to have that organized military in Russia.
In Russia, right.
And you got a ragtag group that's defending itself, that's holding them all.
Yes, they are.
Let us pray.
Yes.
Almighty Creator, we come to you tonight.
Thank you.
In this time and in this space. And our voice is going around the earth. And we are speaking comfort. We are speaking peace. We are speaking the peace of shalom into the lives of those who are here. To let them know that they're suffering, what they're going through,
is
not forever. And as a result of going through things, you are strengthened. I know that that's what it has done for me. And I know it would do the same thing for others. As you look back, you ask a question and smile. You just wonder how you were able to get through what you went through.
Yes,
and as a result of that, oh God, we know that whenever they are confronted with situations in the future, they can smile and they can see you and they can count it all joy as they go through. Because you give them the spirit of courage, not fear, love, and the sound mind. And that's what makes the enemy. The enemy doesn't understand why they are able to do what they have done doing to them. In the name of your beloved son, we say thank you.
Thank
you. We give you all the thanks and all the praise, knowing that you will pass it on to your son and to us. In his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And they, the listeners, have to expect the miracle now. You got to do your part. You got to expect the miracle.
Oh,
otherwise,
yes, you do.
Don't sit there.
Yes. Right.
You don't expect anything to come. Nothing is going to come.
That's right.
Right.
You're on a journey of belief.
That's right.
Got to move negativity out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, all right. You. Until next
okay,
week.
Shalom.
Yes, sir.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.